Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the borough of Queens, in the city of New York, this is the Epic Podcast with your hosts, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer, the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, episode 44. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And welcome back to another installment of the Epic Podcast.
Yay! You know, every month I always want to say something about the month that it's in, and that seems foolish. I'm always like, yay, it's May, it's the month of May Basket Day.
Except that this podcast comes out at the end of the month.
I didn't realize, we've been doing this for years, and I didn't realize until last month that I'm basically singing a love song to the last day of a month.
Yes, yes, yes.
Whereas I feel more people are probably going to listen to this once the month has changed. So, happy July, listener.
Happy July. 4th of July, America, apple pie, fireworks, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, guns.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm listing America things.
You could have said hip hop, could have said jazz.
I suppose.
Anyway,
yes.
Welcome back, Lugo. It's good to see you.
And welcome back, Schaefer. It's good to see you as well.
Well, shucks. Thank you. That's the nicest thing anybody said to me today.
You need to get out more. Fuck.
No, when I go out, then it's a cold, cruel world, and I'm met with adversity. I'm just kidding. Life is a breeze for me. Look at me.
I guess before we really get into all of this, I do feel it's necessary to give a sort of very warm and loving and sympathetic heart to the people of Orlando, Florida, because Nerdy Show is based in Orlando, and my heart and my thoughts and all of my love goes out to Orlando, and I'm so proud of the way that city is sort of banded together and really sort of taking care of their own. So kudos to the Nerdy Show for keeping it together. And if you want to hear a really fantastic podcast about the sort of reaction to the Orlando shooting, then download look for the Flame On podcast where they talk about it. Our sister, our brother podcast. I guess moving right along. What have you been up to, Shapes? Can I call you Shapes?
No matter how Shapes I answer
is.
No matter how
I heard Kabuto the Python refer to you as Shapeses once on a track, and I always want to call you that. I always want to call you Shapeses.
You always want to? You always do.
No, I don't always call you Shapeses.
Pretty frequently.
But I like,
in the 4 years since that Kabuto track came out, yeah, yes, you've done it pretty frequently.
I just like that shortening.
I like this idea that you're asking me my permission if you can call me a certain thing that you've already been calling me.
For 4 years, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna, no matter what I say, you're going to carry on as...
That is true. That is true. I neither want nor need your consent.
You're already killing it this July. You know that? July, I see as the month of Nelson Lugo's endless victories.
Yes, yes. I'm feeling a little ornery today. Well, not ornery. I'm feeling very, I don't know, what's the word? Prickly. I'm feeling a little prickly.
That's cool. Do you want me to answer the question that you actually asked me, or do you want to?
No, please go ahead.
Or did we move? I gave you grief about
your
hilarious pronunciation of my name.
No. What would you? No, please tell me. Our one listener is dying to know.
All right, excellent. I'm so glad you asked. Well, if you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, Twitter, you may know that there is now a terrible monster that lives at Studio 60.
Oh, that's right. I can't believe we're about to. Yes, absolutely. Let's talk about this.
He is not a terrible monster.
That is an alien from another hell region of some ninth circle of the abyss.
Okay, settle down. Bunny Buxom and I recently adopted a sphinx cat from a shelter in Manhattan.
Well, hold on. It's not exactly just a sphinx cat.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's a little more than a sphinx cat.
What makes it more than a sphinx cat?
Well, it is bald. It is a bald. You're leaving out a very crucial. You're burying the headline, as they say.
Is that right?
Yes.
Because I didn't mention it was hairless? As anybody with a Wikipedia access knows, sphinx cats' definitive feature are their hairlessness.
That's. No.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Oh, then I'm sorry. Then I'm thinking of the Siamese cat, then.
Yes, you are.
I see. Okay. Yes.
It would have been as though I had said a magical magician to say a hairless sphinx.
Right.
Can I talk about this cat?
Please do.
Thank you so much.
Yes. What's this cat's name?
This cat's name is Roger.
Oh, God.
Roger.
You're one of those.
What do you mean one of those?
I fucking hate you.
What?
You and your slavish attachment to irony have given your cat essentially what is the most mundane human name you could possibly come up with.
Oh, not even close. Mark is a way more mundane human name.
You know what? I'm going to give that to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Roger does not appear in the Bible, so it's not that mundane. When I say a what up to all of the Michaels and Marks out there.
Luke's, John's.
Yes. Roger's a one-year-old hairless sphinx cat.
There you go.
He is this wonderful, weird, wrinkly creature. He kind of looks like a number of things. I frequently describe him as a pink nightmare.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
He kind of looks like
a Resident Evil villain.
He kind of a Silent Hill monster.
Sure. Rather. Silent Hill monster. Sure.
He kind of looks like genitals.
He does. His face does resemble a scrotum.
I've been around sphinx cats in my life. So I was kind of familiar with how amazing they look and feel. They're not utterly hairless. There's a very, very fine layer of kind of peach fuzz on them.
Sure.
The best way to describe what they feel like is a velvet-covered hot water bottle.
The way I would describe Roger is my head after the third round of chemotherapy.
Your head would have been a little coarser, though. It's
stubbly. It was very fine. It was very fine baby hairs.
Also, I want to get back to this name thing. This is not a mundane name. There's a great deal of weight.
To Roger?
Yes.
Maybe
not weight, but definitely meaning.
To Roger?
Yes.
As in the British slang term for anal sex.
Or really any sex.
That's true. Yeah.
Also, the late brilliant Prince, his full name was Prince Rogers Nelson.
Okay.
I couldn't name him Prince, and I definitely couldn't name him Nelson.
Why not? If you want noble, dignified, gentlemanly name, you couldn't possibly do any better than Nelson.
I don't trust anything with a last name as a first name.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Also, Roger Waters was the founder and frontman of Pink Floyd for many years, and he is pink, so there's that too.
That's a dubious connection at best. I'll give you a half point for that one.
Anyway. So he is an amazing cat. I've publicly made myself a person who is known for my enthusiasm for cats over the
years. I actually wanted to bring this up because you have been a cat person for a very, very long time.
Lifelong.
Yes, but for the past, say, 10 years?
No.
Seven?
Yes.
Yeah. About 7 years you've been without an animal.
That is correct.
Yes.
I had cats one after another for most of my life.
Right, except for the past 7 years.
Past 7 years, I have not had a cat. I had had a couple of cats before, and when my ex-wife and I got divorced, the cats went and lived with her.
Sure.
And I just never got cats again.
Right.
There was a period in the past 7 years where I was prepared to get another cat because right. I got mice for the first time in my life. I never had mice because I always had cats. But I just never ended up doing it.
Right. You never pulled the trigger on.
So this is the first time in many years that I've lived with a cat.
Right.
And I thought
yeah.
I was going to be living with a cat, but I am actually living with a demon from space. I'd always seen Sphinx cats and I'd always wanted one of them. Here's the thing. I didn't know a lot about them because I foolishly did not research.
No.
I just looked at pictures of them because they're beautiful and ugly and amazing and
sure.
wonderful.
Sure.
But I never really read much about them to learn specifics about the breed.
Really? I find that surprising because you're such a avid internet researcher.
Yeah, but I'm also an asshole who overvalues my own knowledge in things. So okay. I was like, oh, I know cats.
I see.
You don't have to tell me about cats. Internet. Right. I know.
Wait, so you did the research after Roger showed
Yeah.
Them. Okay.
So here are some things about Sphinx cats that you might want to know before you adopt one.
I'm never going to adopt one, but lay it on me.
Okay. But you have been able to like be near without freaking out.
Well, so far.
You're crushing it so far. Anyway, I'm not going to give
Don't
you a
jinx
trophy
it.
Yet.
Okay. Don't jinx it.
Things to know about Sphinx cats. They are incredibly social and they need a lot of attention.
Oh, okay. Yes. They're very needy.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And vocal about it.
Oh.
They're very chatty too.
Okay.
So... a large portion of my day, especially when I first come home, is being followed around and screamed at.
Right.
But he's so adorable that you can't get angry.
Sure, sure.
Another thing I wish I'd known, because they don't have fur, their skin gets very oily. So you have to give Sphinx cats baths.
Like all the time?
Like once a week, every 2 weeks or so.
Oh, so wait. So
I don't know how much you know about cats being a non-animal person. But
no.
You probably know that cats are animals that are not really excited about water.
Right. Well, I would think that you would still have to bathe your cat once a week, right?
No, you don't have to bathe a cat. They take care of themselves.
Really?
Yeah, they clean themselves all the time.
Oh.
Sphinx cats get dirty. They get greasy. And you have to bathe them.
Yeah, that makes sense. So has Roger very comfortable around baths?
Not so much. Can you see this little scar on my neck?
I can see that
yeah,
one.
Yeah. That one bled.
Ooh.
He's not terrible at it. It's pretty
cute.
Do you
dope them up with some catnip before the bath?
No, that doesn't work that way. That just makes them really squirrely, and that's not what you want to do before you
really
submerge a cat.
You don't want to dope up a cat?
Well, no, you do because it's hilarious.
Sure,
but
you don't want to bathe them while they're
doped. Usually
doped.
Winds them up a little bit, and you don't want them really wound up before you put them in water.
Oh, so I see. So catnip winds them up?
Yeah.
Is dope like the marijuana or the cocaine equivalent?
Oh, it's way more like cocaine than weed.
Okay.
Way more. It's actually more like meth.
Well, all right. Well, but wait, does meth wind up people? I would think that puts them out.
Do you know what amphetamines are?
No.
You really don't know anything about drugs.
Is that like an upper?
Oh, my God. Forget it. We're not talking about drugs.
Okay.
Here's another thing I wish I had known about Sphinx cats.
What's
is that they fart a lot.
Oh.
And their farts smell terrible.
Okay.
On another note, their poops are horrible.
Oh, really?
They're like war crimes.
I have not smelled a single thing in this part.
Well, I'm very good about tidying up the studio before you arrive.
Yeah. All right. Well,
they are also adverse to covering up their poops.
Oh.
Almost like they're proud of this nightmare that they've created.
So wait, that's a trait of the breed?
Yeah.
Or specific to Roger?
To the breed.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Much of the stuff that I read online is that Sphinx cats have really stinky poops and they don't really care about covering them up.
Oh.
They just drop it and they go on with their day.
Good for them.
No, it's not good for them. It's bad. They're bad kitties.
No. I know what. I guess I'm very much in line with that. It's like I drop my deuce and I'm out.
Well, I think you take care of yourself because you are an adult human being.
Sure.
They get pimples.
Oh, I guess that would...
Yeah.
Yeah, because their skin is oily.
Sure. They'll get blackheads and whiteheads, both on their tails and their chins.
Do you have to pop?
You don't have to, but it do.
That's fucking gross.
Yeah.
You pop your cat's pimples.
You wouldn't be able to resist it. If you were a cat person and you had something...
And Roger lets you?
He's not crazy about it, no. But he doesn't care that much because he does it and he gets pissed off. But then like a couple minutes later, he's like, oh, I'm so mad at you. But you know, I really need that attention. So let me just go ahead and mount your face.
All right.
Their bodies are very warm. because the heat is distributed through the fur of of an earth cat.
Right. This being not this being a mutant monster.
A Martian golem.
Right.
Oh, here, and then I think this is the one last thing worth noting is that they are just so much fun, and they are so affectionate and hilarious and curious, and they're just wonderful, and they're great companions. And apparently shrinks recommend them as therapy animals.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
They are
they're really that helpful. That sort of emotionally connected.
Yes, they're very special.
Wowzers. All right.
Well, so look at that. Get one. Get a whole bunch of them.
That's a
live inside Silent Hill.
That is the Schaefer's Cat Corner segment of the Epic Podcast.
Crap, I didn't make a jingle.
You know, just put one in. Just put one in at the beginning.
No, I don't have time for that.
Cat Corner.
I don't have time to make that.
I just made it.
I have a Sphinx cat that won't.
No, I just made it. Think. Just take what I did and then.
Could you do it again?
Yeah.
No, don't do it again. No, that was terrible. I was kidding.
Cat Corner.
Anyway, what is up with you, Nelson Lugo?
Well, back in May, the Big Apple Circus here in New York City has several community outreach programs, one of which, their flagship community outreach program, is called the Clown Cares, the Clown Care Unit. And what this does is basically place professionally trained clowns in children's hospitals to essentially make really sick kids laugh, and to make the parents of really sick kids laugh, and to make the staff who are treating really sick kids laugh. And I've known about it for a very long time. And ever since I started getting involved with the Big Apple Circus, I've grown more and more aware of it. And back in, I'm going to say April, they put out a casting call because they were looking for new clown care doctors. Mm-hmm. And this was the first audition that they had for, I think the last one was like 7 years ago. They don't do auditions very often, and people very rarely leave, and nobody really gets fired, basically. Mm-hmm. And because I had done the ringmastering stuff, I decided that I was going to audition, basically making up my mind that there's no way in hell I was going to get this gig.
Just so that I'm clear, you have no professional clown training, is that correct?
None. I have zero professional clown training.
But you just saw an opportunity. There's a job opening.
No. But, well, I mean, basically what I applied, and it was a very, very, a really grueling application process. Mm-hmm. And my reasoning was this. I had filled in as a ringmaster last season. And what I wanted to do was get my face in front of Big Apple people again, just to remind them, hey, remember me? I did a thing, you know, just so that, you know, I don't disappear. Like, you know, like who I am as an entertainer and as a value to them doesn't disappear. Mm-hmm. Right. I had no intention.
No, but that was kind of what I was about to say. You saw an opening under the umbrella of the Big Apple Circus.
Yes.
You were like, I have no professional clown training, but it's the Big Apple Circus.
Yeah.
Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
Look at you.
And apparently several hundred people applied. Mm-hmm. Basically the application was a proposal letter. I had to tell them who I was and why I wanted to audition.
Thank you for not texting me to ask me to write that letter for you. That's a callback for our listener.
Yes, that is a callback. And I had to submit resumes and references and proof of my work ethic and talent and things like that. And then they culled down those several hundred down to, I believe, 18. Mm-hmm. And then 16 people showed up to the audition. And it was the weirdest audition I've ever been in because everybody was in the room at the same time. Because usually in an audition, everybody waits outside and everybody comes in one at a time. This was completely different. Everybody was in the same room at the same time. We all did a group warm-up together. We all did introductions together. And then we all performed for each other. It was...
Wow.
It was a very...
How many people?
Well, there was at least 16 candidates and plus another maybe 7 or 8 people from Big Apple.
Okay.
And so, and basically you had 3 minutes. You were timed. You had 3 minutes to do your best material. And they didn't care if it was child appropriate or if it was a clown piece or if it was anything else whatsoever. They just wanted to see your best 3 minutes. Hmm. So I came in and I did my rope routine, which I'm now calling my dapper rope routine.
Oh.
And because it's a perfect 3 minute act.
Yeah.
It's literally 3 minutes and no, I'm sorry. 2 minutes and 59 seconds.
Did you get to do it with music?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There was a sound system there and I played the music and, then based on that, I got a call back. I was surprised to learn I got a call back. So I came back the very next day and they put us in a hospital. I showed up with a clown nose and some semblance of a costume and brought a small suitcase of magic because I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And they threw a doctor's coat on me and then they basically put me in two rooms with two very sick kids and said, go.
Damn.
Make them laugh.
That's an intense audition.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, well, they're very loving and very supportive.
Sure.
And they were they definitely had my back. They weren't going to leave me out there to fucking hang myself.
No, but it really was throwing somebody overboard and being like, absolutely. Now swim.
Oh, absolutely. That was the point of the audition, was to basically push me as far into my uncomfortable zone as possible to see how I would react.
Huh.
And because they know I'm talented. They know I can learn it. They want to know how I can, who I am in those moments of stress.
I see.
They want to see that. And how I can handle that. And I went in and there was this one kid with third degree burns up his left arm. And I wasn't allowed to even go in the room. So I had to entertain him from the doorway. And I did it. I managed to do it. And me and my supervisor, we played off each other. We made the mom laugh. I did a magic trick for the mom. And then we went into another room where there was this kid with this huge helmet of bandages, essentially a bandage helmet around his head with a tube coming out the back. And when he walked in, he was just pin quiet. When he walked out, he was a crazy laughing hysterical ball of energy. Then the weekend goes by and they're hiring people and they were only filling two spots because they only had two spots available. And I thought, there's no way in hell I'm going to get this because there are, you know, I saw some really great acts and some really professional clowns and I'm not a clown. I'm a magician with a red nose. And so I wasn't really expecting anything. But because Big Apple Circus is who they are, they said, we're going to call everybody, regardless if you got it or not, you're going to get a personal phone call from the director of the program to let you know how you did and where you stand. And, come Monday morning, I get a call, I get a voicemail, you know, and it started out, and of course, it's a bunch of fucking clowns who did this. It's like, it started out like, you know, hey, Nelson, I just want to let you know, there was a lot of really good talent, and the choice was really difficult to make, and you know, I want you to know that you did a really good job, and we only have two spots to fill, and one of them is yours if you want it. And,
clowns.
So, yeah, clowns. And so between that point and now, I've been filling out a veritable fuck ton of paperwork to get into these hospitals and all kinds of medical checkups and background checks and drug tests and vaccine tests and all kinds of stuff. And I started my first day of training today.
Wow.
So I'm... I don't know if anybody can hear the difference, but I'm a little loopy today, and my brain has been firing in all cylinders for like 8 hours, and I'm a little.
I just want to say that a couple of things.
Okay.
I think it's amazing, noble use of anything in the vaudeville sideshow arts.
You know, I was going to come back with a witty retort, but I'm like, no, I agree with you. This is probably the most noblest thing that anyone can do with their talent.
I guess the alternative is sticking your tongue to an open fan blade for a bunch of drunks at Coney Island.
Right.
You could do that.
Right.
Or you could get a incredibly sick kid to laugh his little ass off.
Right. Or just forget that he's in a hospital for like 2 minutes.
And another thing I want to say. I am so proud of you.
What?
Yeah, you went into that thing. You weren't without the clown training.
Yeah,
and you still like killed so hard that
I totally killed it in
this position that was being sought out by so many people.
So many, yeah.
And you were working well outside your comfort zone.
Oh yeah. Oh my
both
god.
Just
yes.
auditioning, let alone your like that final audition.
Yeah.
That's it. All like took so much guts, and I'm really proud of you.
You know what? Again, I mean, this is traditionally where I would do some sort of self-deprecating joke, but this is probably the single greatest piece of validation I've gotten as an artist for a very long time.
There's another thing I want to say about it.
Sure.
I am thrilled that you got this position. That you're going to be doing this.
Yeah.
Because it'll mean so much more from now on.
Yeah.
When I call you a fucking clown. I just, that was the first one. I got goosebumps. That was so much fun. Oh, it just opens up a whole new world.
Oh dear. Yeah.
What's your clown name?
I'm actually really proud of this. It took three professional clowns 12 hours over the course of 12 hours, just constant nonstop texting each other, just riffing on just the dumbest things we could possibly think of to come up with this clown name. And I am so fucking happy about my clown name. My clown name is Dr. Howie Doodat.
Because you're a magician. Howie Doodat.
Howie Doodat. Dr. Doodat.
I have an alternative that I would like to pitch to you.
I already have one, but go ahead.
No, but I've got one for you.
Okay, go for it.
Hopeless Pocus.
That's actually really good.
Thank you.
Oh, fuck. That's actually really good. Hopeless Pocus.
Thank you. It's again, you've just opened a new world for me.
Or Harry Pocus. Harry Pocus is good. I guess not.
No, it's not.
Oh, dear.
No,
okay. All right. But here's the thing. Part of the Big Apple Circus is that anything I create as an employee of the Big Apple Circus is owned by the Big Apple Circus. Mm-hmm. So it took 12 hours to come up with Howie Doodat, and it actually doesn't belong to me now.
Oh.
It belongs outside of the Big Apple Circus, I cannot perform as Howie Doodat.
Oh.
Which is fine by me, because I'm never going to perform as a clown anywhere else.
Hey, don't say never.
Well, I mean,
you should learn by now. You shouldn't say things like never.
Well, maybe never, but it's highly unlikely that I'm ever going to perform as a clown outside of
Let's
the Big
say
Apple
someday
Circus.
You do. You perform in some sort of sideshow thing, performing for a bunch of drunks at Coney Island,
right,
and you are doing a clown act.
Okay.
Might I recommend Hopeless Pocus?
I will totally take Hopeless Pocus.
Terrific.
Yes. So yeah, I traditionally hate everything that I do, and I think everything I do is crap and that I don't deserve anything. But this is the first thing I can legitimately say, not only did I fight for it, I got it and I earned it and I'm deserving of it.
You absolutely earned it.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Good job. Do I owe the Big Apple Circus a quarter because I just said it?
No. Oh, no, good. Of course not. Although I do want to say before we move on to the next thing, the Big Apple Circus is a non-for-profit circus. Just like the Metropolitan Opera, the New York City Ballet. It is a New York institution that is funded primarily through public funds. And right now, it's in a whole lot of trouble. It's in a whole lot of financial trouble. They're trying to raise $2 million before the next season, or else the Big Apple Circus will be no more.
Oh.
They have reached about a third of their goal. And so if this momentum continues, all signs are pointing to a better than slim chance that we will have another season of the circus.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a website called SaveTheCircus.com, or is it .org? I don't remember which, but you can go to BigAppleCircus.com.
It'll be in the notes.
It'll be in the notes. If you can donate a dollar, $10, $20, if you have the money, $1,000, if you have $1 million laying around, donate $1 million. Otherwise, the circus, another New York icon, will just go away. And I'm pretty safe in the knowledge that the clown care unit will live on in another form or another, because it's a separate entity.
Mm-hmm.
But the circus will be no more if it can't raise the money. So if you have, if you are invested in the entertainment of, the art form of laughter and wonderment, then please, I'm begging, and I promise you, I'll never beg for another dime from any of our listeners ever again. But if you have a dollar, you can toss the Big Apple, then please do so. I would be eternally grateful to you.
Again, that link will be in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What else? Let's talk about something else.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Shit.
Did you just owe about the same thing I'm going to owe about?
Probably. Is it the other thing we were talking about?
Yeah.
I'll start it then.
Yes, please do.
So, as y'all know, Nelson Lugo became a PlayStation player.
Thank you. Thanks to one M. Schaefer.
So now, for the first time since we've both joined the latest generation of consoles.
Sure.
First time ever, we have both completed a video game.
On the same system.
I mean, the same video game.
Same system.
We both completed a couple of the Batman Arkham games on different systems.
That's what I'm saying. We completed the same game on the same system.
Yes. Well, yeah. This time it would have to be the same system since it is a PlayStation exclusive.
That is true.
So, in this month, we both played and completed Uncharted 4.
Uncharted 4.
A Thief's End.
A Thief's End.
Which is brought to us by the fine folks at Naughty Dog.
Yes.
The studio that brought us such classics as Uncharted 1, 2, 3, The Last of Us, and of course, Crash Bandicoot.
I do want to say that I have never owned a Sony system before.
Mm-hmm.
So I have never played any Sony game before.
Any of the exclusives, yeah.
Yeah, any of the exclusives, and I've never played Uncharted specifically.
Right.
And so this was my this was my introduction to the Uncharted franchise.
And a fine one at that.
I loved this game.
I have played Uncharted. I didn't play the first one, but I did play 2 and 3.
Sure.
I probably played through 2 with like 3 times.
I
loved it so much.
Wow.
3 only played through once, barely remember it. And this was my favorite by far.
Really?
Of the Uncharted
series. More than 2.
So much more. It's just such a big, fun, exciting, thrilling game.
I loved it. The only thing I had going into it, any kind of comparison I had going into it, was essentially Lara Croft. And I've played Lara Croft games before.
Yeah.
And always felt a bit underwhelmed. Even the newest one was fun. I mean, it certainly had its moments, but it was just a lot of the same stuff kind of done overdone.
Yeah.
But this...
The Uncharted games, they keep mixing it up.
Let me tell you.
For those of you who have not played an Uncharted game, it's a series that follows an archaeologist, adventurer,
thief.
Whose name is Nathan Drake, yeah. But it might as well be Fillion. Because he looks and sounds and is just as charming as Captain Mal of the Serenity.
Yes.
And you basically follow him around while he quips his ass off
right.
and searches for ancient, oftentimes mythological
yes.
treasure.
Yes. Yes.
And there's always gunfights and action. It's very much like playing an action movie. And a thing that these games all have going for them that is so great is kind of what you were touching
yeah.
on, is that they never do anything too long.
No.
You will have a portion where you're exploring.
Yeah.
Just as you start to feel the tedium from exploring, well, you're in a gunfight.
Yeah.
And as soon as that starts to get a little tedious, now you're trying to solve a puzzle.
Yeah.
And then as you're trying to solve that, now you are hanging from a train on the side of a cliff. They're always expertly paced,
yeah.
expertly acted,
yeah.
And they're always so much fun.
I mean, the gameplay is just stellar, absolutely stellar. And even the exploration / climbing / traversal stuff is just a huge puzzle in of itself. You know, like finding where you have to go in order to move further into where you need to be is mm-hmm. just really fucking fun. And you don't actually have to do a whole lot of gunplay. Like there's a lot of silent
stealth.
There's a lot of stealth stuff you can do before the gunfire gets out of hand.
Yeah, you can get through most of your objectives if you can play them either way. You can
yeah.
play them stealth or
yeah.
you can just try to take everybody out.
I think there's maybe like 2 or 3 like set pieces where you can't stealth. Like you're in a fucking firefight for your life.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I mean,
I like that option because whenever I play games like that,
yeah.
I will always choose the stealth option. It's very so satisfying.
I do
see that you have 15 enemies and take them all down. But of course, every time I play one of these games, I'm stealth for like the first 3 guys, and then as soon as one enemy spots me, I'm Leroy Jenkins, just blowing rocket launchers at anything that moves until I'm dead.
I do half and half. I try to take out as many as I can stealthily that I can get to easily, and the rest of them I'm just mowing down.
I try not, guys. I try to kill people as little as possible in these games because I feel it sullies Nathan Drake's character for me. I don't like to think of him as a mass murderer, but let's face facts.
Yeah, he's a fucking mass murderer.
He mowed down like 100 people over the course of that game, depending on how you play it.
Yeah. I mean, there were some times where I had no choice but to fucking murder wholesale murder a room full of dudes.
Yeah.
But even that just felt... It always felt organic. There was never a moment where I felt like it was... I mean, they're all scripted moments, obviously, but one scene flowed into the next seamlessly, and it made sense in the context of where Nathan Drake was and where they were in the story. I never felt as a player forced to... I never felt like the story was forced onto me.
Right.
Or that the puzzles were forced onto me. It made sense in the context of both gameplay and the story that these are the things that are now happening.
Yes. Not only did it... Yeah. I felt it moved seamlessly, like you're saying, from these...
Yeah.
Seamlessly from these different types of gaming challenges.
Yes.
It also moved seamlessly from cutscenes into action. Yes, yes. Better than any game I think I've ever seen.
And I gotta say, I mean, I have nothing to compare it to. This is the first Uncharted game I played. The story is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. The story really gripped me and I was hooked.
For those who are interested in every game, there's a big quest that Nathan Drake is after.
Right.
And this one, it is after the treasure of famed pirate Henry Avery.
Right. And I don't think this is a spoiler, because it happens pretty early on in the game. Mm-hmm. His long lost brother shows up.
Sam Drake.
And I got to tell you, I love Sam Drake.
Yes.
Sam Drake is a fan. I mean, Nathan is my favorite, obviously. And you're supposed to love him because he's designed that way. Mm-hmm. But I found Sam as a character far more complex and nuanced than any other video game character I've ever come across.
Yeah, he's an elaborate, complicated man.
Very complicated and very human. Mm-hmm. And everything he does and says in the throughout the course of the game, and even Nathan, it's all justified. Like it all makes sense in the terms of, like, I'm going to speak very actorly now. Mm-hmm. They have very clear wants and goals and plans to achieve those goals, and everything they say or do is so in line with who they are as a person. Mm-hmm. I was never taken out for a bit. Like, at no point was I ever pulled out and went, "What? That's..." Because there's always a moment in a video game, even in my favorite, even in like the last Batman game, Arkham Knight, there was a moment where it was like, I'm loving this. Wait, what? Come on, yeah, guys. Yeah. Really?
You're reaching here to get us
really
to point B.
Fuck it. Yeah, it's like, really? That's what... Oh, fine. I'm along for the ride anyway. But in Uncharted, it was playing a movie.
Yeah.
There was a clear beginning, middle, and end. There was rising action. There was conflict. There's a fucking fantastic twist at the beginning of the end of the second act. It's so good.
And an excellent resolution at the end.
Oh, so good.
The epilogue is very satisfying.
And I really loved the epilogue. I loved how it's very circular. Mm-hmm. That the epilogue mirrors a lot of what happens in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I cared for these characters. I cared for Nathan. I cared for Sam.
Lena.
I fucking love Lena. Lena's my most favorite female video game character of all time.
I like that these games...
Scully is fucking one. I want to play a
Sully.
Game. Sully, thank you. I want to play a game where I'm only Sully.
Just
Sully.
The Victor Sullivan.
Yes. Like a younger
Chronicles.
Sully. Like a younger, more roguish Sully.
Yeah, they're all really likable characters that you can attach to. And the three main leads, Elena,
yeah,
Nathan, and Sully, have had the same voice actor since the beginning. So you really, like, if you play all of them, you really feel like you've gone
grown
on this
with them.
Whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I got to agree with you what you said about Sam Drake, about him being this amazing, complicated character that
Absolutely.
You can really sink your teeth into and really kind of connect to.
Yeah.
I like him so much that I even forgive the games for kind of retconning him into the story. Because
because I don't know about this. You told me.
Yeah, in Uncharted 3, there's a flashback sequence because Uncharted likes their flashbacks.
Sure.
there's a flashback sequence where an adolescent Nathan Drake is in this museum and he's trying to steal some stuff. And they use that as the sort of meet cute of when he connects with Victor Sullivan for the first time. And so you see that. And during that scene, he says something in Uncharted 3, he says something about the fact that, you know, I'm an orphan and I'm on the street and no mention of a brother. Where when we get to Uncharted 4, we see a flashback sequence of him roughly the same age, and it's very clear that he and his brother are almost inseparable.
I can
forgive that because of how great Sam Drake is.
You know what,
though? And because of how much his story really moves this.
Well, way. I guess, not having played the other games, I don't really know that scene, but I do know that in Uncharted 4, because I know the moment you're talking about, because it's in a flashback where he's talking to his wife, and he explains it very simply about how he basically lied about his childhood his entire life.
Yeah.
And that he, you know, and he's basically invented his childhood so that no one can trace him, no one can find him. Because when he was younger, he didn't want to have any ties. He didn't want to be, he never saw himself as being someone who would be married. So he didn't care what story he told and to who.
True.
But even that, I think even that's a small price to pay.
Yeah, I mean,
for the overall story.
Again, it's a tiny nitpicky beef that I have with it. The only other complaint I could make about the game.
Sure, and this is being really nitpicky.
Incredibly nitpicky. Okay. Is that this game uses the full capacity of the PlayStation 4's graphics processing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Because everything is just beautiful vistas everywhere.
Yeah.
Incredibly rendered environments. You feel like you're
miles.
There. Yeah. So there are these moments every time we get one of those where we have like a character say to another character, "Wow, would you look at that?" But that happens like a dozen times throughout the game. Where after a while I'm like, "Oh, so the whole team who rendered these environments, did they get to write script too? Did they get to say, hey, we need a line here where we tell the audience how fucking beautiful this is because their eyes aren't going to work on their own?"
Well, I'll even give you a one step further. At the beginning of those moments, there's a QuickTime event where if you pull a trigger at the right time, you'll actually get a moment where Nathan just pans the vista.
Oh yeah,
for a moment.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's just breathtaking. He has to turn to whoever's with him. If it's his wife, if it's his brother, if it's his old buddy, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's just got to be. Wow, what a view.
Yeah, yeah.
Time I would hear the word "what a view," I'd be like, "Oh, come on, Uncharted." I was holding your hand at the drive-in, and you did this, and now I'm kind of thinking like, maybe this relationship isn't going to last. But then they would solve it because a second later, I would be hanging from the back of a speeding Jeep and firing at motorcycles.
Yeah,
and be like, okay, we're cool.
I do want to talk again. I don't want to spoil it too much, but one of the things I really loved about the game is that it was introducing new mechanics throughout.
Never stops. Even when you get to the end of the game, you are still learning new gameplay mechanics.
Even at the very end, there's a short tutorial and then you're on your own.
Yep.
And the tutorial is you doing the damn thing. So you could fail out pretty easily.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
Yeah.
What I really love about the game is that I didn't feel like I was being talked down to by the developer. And at the same time, the game never got complacent.
No.
At no point did the game say, yeah, this is enough and they'll like it.
Yeah.
They kept introducing new mechanics to make it interesting. They kept introducing new puzzles that had to be solved in ever increasing more creative ways, using the tools you just learned, plus the stuff you already have in your arsenal. There was this one section where I'm actually pretty proud of myself because usually I have to go to YouTube tutorials to figure out what the fuck to do. But there was this one section like I couldn't figure it the fuck out. Like, I don't understand what it is they want me to do here. And then the second I saw, like, I watched 5 seconds of a YouTube video and then I was like, oh my God, I totally get it now. And it's just one of those, it's one of those like epiphany moments, like, oh, now, I had that moment throughout the game.
Yeah.
Like the moment I figure out, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. One of my favorite moments, and I hope this isn't too spoilery, is we're inside a cave structure. And in order for me to get to a particular ridge, I actually had to climb down two levels, climb up another level, swing over underneath a stone bridge structure to grab onto another wall to climb up to get. It was the most roundabout way to get there, and it took me forever to figure out.
But you tried every possible way to just go straight up.
Yeah, every possible way. And the second I figured it out, I was like, this is awesome. It made me think creatively. It made me think outside of the norm of what I'd already been doing.
And it kind of enhances the experience because it makes you feel like you are actually in search of ancient treasure and you're using a dusty old pirate map.
I rarely ever read lore in video games. Like, there's a lot of video games where you collect books or notes or
journal entries,
journals or audio logs. And I sometimes I'll listen sometimes, you know, but only after I've played the game when I don't really want to stop looking at it. So I go back and I read the stuff, or I look at the pictures, or listen to the journals. This, I read every single thing.
Yeah.
I read every single note. I read every single journal entry. I read every single thing because I was so fascinated by not just Nathan, but the adventure they were on. Like, I wanted to know about these pirates. I wanted to know about this pirate thing that was going on.
I mean, the whole thing that's going on, you're also kind of unraveling this mystery.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just looking for treasure, but you're unraveling this mystery of what happened in the relationships between Henry, Avery, and these other pirates that are in the story.
Yeah.
And as you go and you collect these little things, you start, like,
you start putting it all together.
You're putting the story together, and you're like, oh, some shit went down between these pirates.
Yeah. And that mystery really kept me guessing right up until the end.
Yeah. And also reading those journal entries is very satisfying because they're all filled with, like, Nathan Drake's humor.
Right.
Like, if you look at his notebook and you see his little sketches.
Yeah,
and
he does little doodles and little, he makes notes to himself.
Yeah.
And I found the puzzles to be really satisfying.
Yeah.
Puzzles. Really, really satisfying. There was one that was really hard that took me a fucking long time to get around. But that got a little frustrating because at that point I felt like I was battling the developer and not the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
It is an excellent game.
Absolutely.
Uncharted 4 from Naughty Dog Studios, an exclusive to the PlayStation 4. I strongly recommend that you all play it.
Now,
it was a very, very rewarding gaming experience.
As a new person to the Sony universe, I know that Uncharted released HD remixes of
the first three games. Yeah.
Is it worth it to go back to those three?
I think so, because it's probably pretty cheap. Whenever they do, like, an HD collection of remastered old games, you can usually get, like, three games on a disc, and it's like $30.
No, I'm not concerned about the price. I'm saying, will those hold up?
I think so. My memories of Uncharted 2 are still very, very strong.
Okay.
And I think it would be worth it, and it would be fun. And plus, it'd be, like, juiced up with a whole bunch of, excuse me, new trophies and whatnot.
Well, I didn't get the original trophy, so it doesn't matter to me.
Okay, well, I think it would be worth it.
Okay, all right.
I might even play Uncharted 3 again just because I only gave that one a once through and was kind of like, eh, and I don't really like have the same memories of it. Uncharted 2, I just still recall as a masterpiece, but it's because I played it multiple times. And I will definitely play through Uncharted 4 again.
Right.
And also, you need to go online and play the online version of it so that your machine downloads the additional software patch to do it, and then you and I can play. We can do adventures together. We can do multiplayer.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah. So let's totally do that.
Let's play some Uncharted multiplayer.
Fuck yeah!
Hopefully they let me be Sully.
I wanna boost you up to a ladder.
Yeah, and I wanna say something quippy like that'll work. I wanna say something like that when I find a crate that I can hop on top of. Uncharted 4, play that.
I think that's it.
I think that is it for the first half of this program.
Except to say that in the world of comic books, I'm only just going to briefly mention, I'm really satisfied with the end of the New 52.
Oh.
I thought the endings were very rushed, but I think a lot of the resolutions made a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
They wrapped up a lot of storylines as neatly as they could,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm giving the new, the Rebirth,
which is DC's new.
DC's new sort of like revamp, relaunch of their title characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, I am hooked.
Really?
I'm gonna caveat this by saying that I am a admitted DC fanboy.
Sure.
I am not a Fairweather fan. I will read it when it's awful. I will read it when it's wonderful. But I gotta say, what their premise for this reboot is pretty exciting. And I'm kind of jonesing to see what else happens.
Well, we'll see if I sign on. I checked out of the New 52 and every DC title.
You should read them digitally.
Right around the time of the Chaos Shard. That's when I checked out, and I just didn't go back.
I remember you kicked a comic book almost out the window.
I will maybe go back and finish up the New 52's Scott Snyder run on the Batman Prime title. Just to see how it all wraps up.
I really enjoyed Commissioner Gordon as Batman. I really did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you.
I don't really care. I look, I roll my eyes. All I see is like, oh, great, another comic books publisher is doing another big crossover event because they're afraid they can't keep readers with.
I'm just really, really happy that they stopped trying to force Frankenstein down my throat.
God, that was around the time of the Chaos Shard.
Yeah, it's like, stop using. Nobody gives a fuck about Frankenstein. I don't. Nobody cares.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Nobody. You know what? I was in such a good mood, and you just pissed me. Now I'm thinking about the issue of Batman and Robin called Batman and Frankenstein, and how pissed off I was about that.
All right.
All right. Let me take a deep breath here.
Take a deep breath. You're good.
I'm over it. It's in
the
past.
Good. You're good. I do want to make a very quick mention. The new Voltron animated series on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Really?
Absolutely fucking amazing.
Wow. I was, you know, considering that I am of a certain age, I was never that invested in Voltron.
No, Voltron was my Jim Jam. I fucking love.
I saw it as just shitty Transformers, so I never
never
gave it a fair shake.
I absolutely fell in love with Voltron, and not just Voltron, the lions, but like Voltron with the vehicles as well.
Yeah.
And this is not only a faithful reboot of the series, but it brings some new stuff to it that is well needed and really shockingly, not shocking, but really like wonderfully surprising.
Okay.
And I really liked it. My only complaint is too short, way too short. It's one 1 hour episode and then 9 half-hour episodes.
That's it. You've already blasted through the whole thing?
Yeah, I blasted through the whole thing. I blasted through the whole thing in like 2 days. And it ends on a fantastic cliffhanger, but it's only 10 episodes and it's not enough.
Hmm.
It's nowhere near enough. They should have done a proper like 20 episode run, but you know, whatever.
That's how I feel about every season of Broad City. I feel like it's the funniest show on television. And every time it hits their 10th episode, I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the whole season.
Yeah, yeah.
Luckily this season, we got the little bonus of some of the creative talent behind it, giving us the wonderful 3-episode time traveling Bong, which is a little standalone Comedy Central miniseries of 3 episodes, which is also excellent. If you're not a fan of Broad City, start watching it. If you are a fan of Broad City and you didn't see time traveling Bong, watch that too.
Sure. And then, sure. Sure.
And then send endless letters to Alana and Abby saying, why are your seasons only 10 episodes? That's right. Cruel.
That is cruel.
Cruel.
That is very cruel. All right. I think we're done. Unless you have anything else to add.
I think we're done for now.
Fair enough.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back in just a moment.
Yo, have you ever been a female, though? What you gonna say, huh? Strap on your red wings. It's time to make this bird sing. My bed looks like the elevator from The Shining. Contemplate, don't hate, cause I look like Sharon Tate or a piece of rare steak when I masturbate. Bleeding since 11, bitch. I ain't new to this. Feels like a werewolf is living in my uterus. My body never feels quite as uncute as this. I wanna cover up my shit like Hasidic Jewish chicks.
Wake up to a bloody side of the bed. I'm looking like a goner. I'm dead like Laura Palmer. I'm kinda worried about toxic shock. I've had a tampon in my box since like 4 o'clock. Hard boil my egg and pump me like a keg. My pad is soft and like Laura Croft, he's about to raid my tomb, motherfucker. I got a bloody womb, motherfucker. Miss Wednesday.
The Dwayne Reed, I cop the mud, all the chocolate and the Kraft mac and cheese. Maybe I call the weed man and I smoke some trees. Lay in the cut and I
bleed, bitch, bleed.
Bacon cherry pie in the Kotex, blood dripping down your neck. After sex, I'm not Sookie Stackhouse.
I send your invitation.
Oh, chilling on a yacht on my Red Sea vacation, sipping Bloody Mary. Shit is scary, gnarly like a blonde with your homegirl Carrie. Torn in half, like Dolly Stilo. You know the vino spilling from my hole could fill a carafe. I wouldn't laugh if I were you. Don't fuck with Claire. About to rain in blood, bitch. Slayer. Time of the month for your grandma draws. Make the water turn red like da da Jaws.
Miss Wednesday, what's a period? Once a month, your ovary releases an egg which travels down your fallopian tubes and embeds itself in the lining of your uterus. This is a 28-day cycle. And after that, your egg gets released with the lining and shoots down the corridor and bleeds into your panties. Call me an off-head, red paint's so natural. Collect it once a month and no, it don't come from your asshole. I'm hungry and it's time to munch. I swear for like spaghetti, got marinara on my tongue. And if you got a heavy flow, I do you in the shower. I get my bed spray clean, smelling like flowers, driving bloody round the block, getting tampons for the stock, leaving red sticker pies when your motherfucking mailbox rip your tampon strings out. Cause it's Shark Week, John Wayne, Red Ripper, flowing like a creek, it's about to get real fishy. Swimming in your meat, I got a 10-foot dildo if she looking real beat. What is nasty ass trick trying to get with me? I ain't stab you, bitch, you just in heat.
Are you scared of this?
Shark Week.
It's just a little blood.
Shark Week.
It makes me more powerful.
Shark Week. Maxi Pan? Is that what it is? Shark Week.
You can't floss on our level. You know why? Because we use a tampon string.
Girls, are you on your periods this morning?
Shark Week.
Yeah. Well, that ain't fun. That don't sound good at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guests on the program this month are a three-piece hip-hop crew based out of Brooklyn, New York. Please welcome to the program, Handjob Academy.
Hey!
Yo, yo, yo.
Air horns.
You all went for the air horn.
I fucking love you guys. You're the best ever.
All right.
Ash Wednesday, though.
So this is the most guests we've ever had.
That's
on
true.
At one time.
You broke the record.
So that the audience has the ability to associate names with individual voices as this goes on, please introduce yourselves individually.
I'm Ash Wednesday. I sound like this.
I'm Uncle Meg. I sound like this.
Clara Business.
I don't sound like that.
I don't sound like that.
Excellent. Now that we've gotten that out of the way. So you guys are a hip hop group and you're totally awesome.
Thank you.
A big fan. And
yeah.
Full disclosure,
yeah.
I've done a couple of shows with you guys, but I have since become a big fan.
I'm a brand new fan. And I've been watching all of your YouTube videos incessantly. So
Nelson, you're magical.
Oh, shut up. But thank you.
I see what you did there.
Thank you for saying that stuff, you guys. You're very sweet.
So how long have the three of you been rapping together? Did you all start together? Was it a solo project that added two additional members? Was it a duo that added a third member? You know, was it a quartet that fired a member? What happened?
For the past 4 years, we've been lying.
What?
Excuse me? We're giving you the real exclusive.
Scoop!
We really want to put it all on the table tonight, folks.
This is kind of our opportunity to take our inventory, make some...
Did
real.
You say we were shaking the dairy out?
Yeah,
we're shaking the fat out.
Shake the fat out. Get out.
I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah, shake it all out.
It's going to shake all out.
So what we've basically been saying is that...
Ashley and I met at a party, and we started rapping together. Well, we didn't meet in a party. Where'd
but do we really go to parties?
Not anymore.
We don't really.
Don't say it, though. Don't say it.
Don't we don't 12. Really go to parties.
Just say it without saying it.
Okay, so we met... in a community of individuals.
We were getting our spiritual condition right.
That is true. And Claire and I met, and we had this guy that we knew in the community.
Yeah.
That
he was
part of the commune. He was part of the commune.
I met him at karaoke, and...
He's a misogynist.
We both liked country music. So we were trying to make a country band, and
I was
in
college.
Band.
It's true.
I was in college.
Doing meth.
And,
lighting shit on fire.
Yep. Yeah, literally, this is all true. This
okay.
is dead ass.
This is true.
Everywhere
Meg got kicked out of her college campus for bad behavior.
Yes, bad behavior.
What'd you do? I
assaulted an RA.
With what?
Dead ass.
With my fist.
Oh, okay.
Because I was scared. I was like, who are you? And then I punched him in the face.
Oh.
And then I ran away and hid under the bed and cried and then... And then I said, you know, when I leave college, I just want to open up a quesadilla shop.
That's so lit. Yo, that's
I
dope.
I never knew that.
Danny Trejo has said a that, taco shop.
It's obviously a long story, but long story short.
But I became part of the commune.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we met Meg.
Wait, this went from a community to a commune.
Well, it is kind of a cult.
A part of the cult, and I wanted to get my spiritual condition corrected.
And Meg invited me to her birthday party. And then I didn't go. I was like, who is this kid?
I was trying to get new friends, get off of the streets.
No, literally. Yeah.
And not cut people.
And not cut people no more. Try to get some spiritual condition in my life.
I was trying
life.
To get my fucking swelling down. I was puffy. Anyway.
So.
Ash, well, yeah, we were in Meg's movie, though. So
oh
Meg,
yeah, I had a
Meg
movie.
Had her student film finale,
and I had these two come to my parking garage.
And Ash fell asleep.
And it was a zit popping.
It was
movie.
A skin picking.
It was a skin picking society, based off our commune. And so then I said, "Hey girls, how about I do a music video for you?
Yeah.
And here's a rap line for you as well.
Yeah.
So then they inducted me into the commune inside of the
That's
cult.
Basically where it started.
Yeah. The collective within the commune.
The collective within the commune within
there was
the
a dude.
Cult.
There was a dude kind of making beats, and he was recording us in my bathroom, and it took us like 6 months or whatever. I don't know. And then I fucked him a couple times. It was whatever.
The band name was his idea.
That's the real story.
But when we told him, what happened was we had all these shows lined up, and then he didn't show up to one of them.
Yeah,
he and
didn't
then
show
we
up
were
to
like,
rehearsal.
"That's mad unprofessional." Yeah.
Wait, was he in the band?
He was in the band.
Wait, so it was a three of you plus him.
No. It was these two, Ashley and Claire, and him. Yeah. And then when I came into the commune, I replaced him.
Well,
I replaced him.
What did he do in the group?
We played a show together. Well, like
he wasn't mad at me because we were all four in it for like a hot minute.
Y'all had a minute later when you were about to come to blows. It was about to be fisticuffs.
But that was a year later.
Yeah. But so, they have since made...
Wait,
this other guy... There's so many questions.
I have so many questions.
Wait, where's my air horn?
You're going by so fast.
Sorry.
It's okay.
They're sitting here like, what the hell is going on?
Yo, this is like the morning show on Hot 97.
All
right, rewind.
Where... Okay, Where do we even begin?
You don't have the answers.
So this guy that was in the band, was he also a rapper? Was he just some guy who wore sunglasses and stood at an iTunes?
What was his job in the band?
Oh, he was a rapper.
He was a rapper.
He made the beats.
Yeah.
He made some of the beats, and they were ill. They were like old school 90s boom bap. Yeah.
Boom bap.
It was cool.
And then there was a moment where you came in.
Yeah.
And then
Meg shot the video for us.
I shot their first video that's not available online.
I was going to say, I've not seen this.
It's called 7:30 and it's not available in any outlets.
Why not?
We could get
Got very angry with him a year later.
Listen, he got angry with us and requested that, and nothing on the album ever saw the light of day. So there is a lost Handjob Academy album because he said you can't have my beats, you can't sell this, you can't distribute this. And you know what? It's a good thing because it's a fucked up, problematic-ass record.
He actually says
the T word on it.
He says tranny. He says tranny.
Yeah, he says it.
And I'm pretty much a tranny.
Right.
You know what I mean?
This is problematic.
So
did any of the songs...
I also talk about Columbine. That's pretty fucked.
Did any of...
talk about Columbine
she
a lot.
She said homies Eric and Dylan.
I shouted out Eric and Dylan like they were my homies.
What
else did we say? We had some good...
I said some bad shit.
Yeah, I aborted it.
Oh, yeah, I talked about abortion. But I never had an abortion. That's why I felt like I was entitled. But that wasn't.
We didn't talk about rape.
Did any material from this album that is... clearly vaulted that you're not going to release anybody anytime soon. Did any of that material get repurposed once Meg joined the group? Did you go back and take some of those songs or concepts or hooks or beats or any of it? Or did you have to lose all of his beats?
We got rid of everything that he produced, all of his lyrics, everything is in a vault.
We did as he asked. Yes.
But is there anything that kind of got remolded into...
Well,
this shit's artist rights. Like we ain't in the wrong.
I was about to tread lightly on this one because what had happened was
you tread lightly, girl.
I'm about to not tread lightly. Mira, because what happened was our video.
That I directed and put a lot of fucking effort
into. We all put a lot of effort into that shit, but Meg, pride and joy, gave birth to that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, just blood, sweat, and actual Uncle Meg tears went into that shit. Blood and sweat. Blood, literally.
And money that we raised.
And money that we raised. This shit drops on the internet. We got, a cute little piece of press.
It started getting 200 views every, 5 minutes.
And the YouTube.
Wow. And we kept refreshing it. And then all of a sudden, it went away.
Filed a copyright complaint. And then they had to put the Vimeo link up. And who the fuck, with all due respect, watches Vimeo?
Fair enough.
Basically, all of our views, and I'm such a nerd with video shit and views and stuff.
But,
So all of our views were split between the YouTube and the Vimeo. And I was mad.
Vimeo is for resolution, and YouTube is for tracking your...
I was about to bury this motherfucker.
I put so
much work into it, and we finally got some recognition. Yeah. And we don't got lawyers. We don't got a manager. We don't got nothing. So I'm like, oh, YouTube customer service.
Yeah. Yo, that shit
don't fucking work.
It took 2 weeks to resolve this situation, and... we would have had a 500,000 views. Quarter million. That's all you need. Technically, the definition, of viral, if I'm not mistaken. Perhaps your readers will correct me.
So now there's 100,000 on YouTube and 100,000 on Vimeo.
Yeah, so it's all
this copyright claim was only temporary.
Yeah, right. It was temporary because we refuted it. I was the lawyer on the case.
I'm sure his copyright claim was incredibly dubious to begin with.
It was like, I made this.
I'm like, bitch, no, you didn't.
No, because, Claire and I had, conceptually thought of the idea for Shark Week, which is obviously a woman's idea.
Song. We took out all of his lyrics. Yeah. I wrote my own lyrics.
And we
made a whole new beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And conceptually, it's a woman's concept.
My ex-boyfriend made the beat. Different one. I don't just, like, fuck people, you know, involved in that song.
He said, I was involved in coming up with the concept.
Yeah, no.
No, no, no. So,
he said something this like is that. What
happened. He had, like, three lines Jesus at Christ. The end that yeah. were terrible.
And they were offensive and yeah. fucked up and problematic. I'm sorry, I'll stop saying that word.
Shark Week is one of my favorite Handjob Academy Schaefer. Music.
I it's, love Shark Week.
It probably is. In fact, God. I even recall one time we did a show together at Le Poisson Rouge.
We don't play it enough.
And I got all excited, and I, like, because I just, I'd done a show with you guys at South by Southwest, but I hadn't done a show with you since I'd started listening to everything and became a big fan. So then I saw you and I was all excited, and I was that asshole fan that was like, oh my god, are you playing the song that I want to hear tonight? And you were like, no, why don't you settle the fuck down. We wrote a set list of the shit we thought is the livest that we're gonna do, and I was like, okay, I'm excited about all that too. I like those other songs too a lot. And realized that I had become that fan on
yeah.
you. We'll from just do it between in your two room. Shows. In the middle of two shows.
We should just perform it for him in the living room
don't,
after this.
Don't toy with my heart. Whatever. Please don't do that.
Won't hurt anybody, right?
You.
I'm trying to remember it.
Don't.
So that's, call me. What is it?
Call me an art fag.
Little call me a, I don't even
call
know.
Call me an art fag. Red paint's all natural. Collecting once a month and no one don't come from me.
Asshole.
She has the I'm best hungry. Verse I'm hungry. The whole song.
Yo, when they drop out the beat and they go like marinara's on my tongue.
Oh, with slipper the... like spaghetti, got marinara's on my tongue.
Everyone goes, oh!
Is that Halloween store fake blood in that shot?
Oh my yeah, god, I still have like, is that it Ben in my Nye? Closet. Yeah.
That's been in every single music video since then.
Sure.
That's yeah, been you? In every single one of Meg's girlfriends since then.
Claire yeah. drools it out in the Wild Girls video. Is that what
oh,
it
no,
is?
That was
Pussy
pre-dated.
Chicken. Pussy Chicken.
Is that's one where it starts with
it's
the
in
shot?
Pussy
with
Chicken, yeah. and then it's in Lena Dunham.
Is it in Raw Meat? Or no?
I don't think so. I think yeah. it's just in Pussy Chicken and Lena Dunham.
It was in the back of the truck in Raw Meat, though.
It was
never left the back of Meg's car.
And it's been on all of Meg's girlfriends.
So, listeners, the links to all of these videos will be in the show notes.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's a big thing, is that the music videos are a big part of the Handjob Academy experience, because you have so many music videos, all of very high production value, that are so much fun and are so much fun to watch. And Uncle Meg, are you the director?
I am.
Of all the music videos. Some of these are shot in distant locations, from what it seems like. You guys have traveled across state lines.
To New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. We went to Ashley's community home, her parents' like little community, like her commune.
It's an elderly
up in,
community.
Wait,
Pennsylvania.
For which
yeah,
one was that?
It's for old people.
Oh, we
Shark Week.
We
that's
oh, for
the
sure.
neighborhood.
Oh,
that's in the woods, yeah.
The pool was in New Jersey.
We were in a cold-ass farm.
Yeah, so there was one. Yeah. You guys are all in camo in the back of a truck.
That
was tight.
That shit was slept on, Mad. Slept on, you know? Like,
yeah, that's the best video.
That is such an ill video. And we got a stylist. We got Mess Queen.
Wait, which one is it?
Raw Meat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the editing.
Yeah, my
it
homie.
It shows, yeah.
So, yeah. It's the best editing I ever did.
It's like some Evil Dead shit going on. You're in this cabin.
Yeah. So my friend Lori, 40, she goes by Lori 40, she has a farm called Diamond Hills Farm, upstate near Hudson. Yo. No, it's dope. Remember that baby?
No, we just laughing about the weekend and everything that went wrong.
Next,
it was
fun.
One of the worst.
But I just
weekends.
Wanted to shout out Lori, because she wrote to us like a year before and was, well, she wrote to me and she was like, hey, if Handjob Academy ever wants to shoot a video or come up to this farm and chill, please do. And then like a few months later, I was like, actually, yeah. Can we? And we were all, Meg was like, let's go in April.
She was like, we have guns, we have
we have
drugs.
Rednecks, we have wild, well, we have
taxidermy.
What do you call it? Livestock. Yeah, they had all sorts of shit.
Wow.
So, and then we got a stylist and we like leveled up. It was cool.
Yeah.
And you feel that's the one that's been slept on?
Yeah. And Pussy Chicken.
And Pussy Chicken.
Pussy
Chicken. So
these are beautiful videos. Yeah.
Pussy Chicken had a lot of views on it.
Oh, maybe by now.
Not enough, though.
Oh, you know what's cool about Pussy Chicken? This might be of interest to you. Will Keenan, you know the guy from Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah. Vaguely.
What's up, Will? He's on the internet. He does stuff now. He has some kind of internet company. He's
is that why
dude.
There's a Romeo and Juliet poster?
Nah, not at all.
Okay.
So I picked that up at Comic-Con, right? Uh-huh. And I was trying to like rub elbows with Romeo people, or Troma people rather, to just be like, put me in a movie. I'm cool. You know?
Sure.
I'll get my tits out, whatever. So I wanted to be like in a Troma movie, whatever. I'm just talking to the guys at Comic-Con. They're whatever. They're interns, you know? I'm sure they're directing shit by now. But anyway, I got this poster, and for that scene in Ashley's bedroom, I was like, we have to make this. Like, this is my one, like, credit of, like, set design ever that I'm super proud of, was Ashley's bedroom in that. And I was like, I just took a lot of care with that. I put, like, what's up? We're Snapchatting it. What up? Oh, man. there's like sassy magazines that I had from 1993. Sure.
There's the set design in that is it's noticeable that everything is there deliberately. You didn't just walk into
the
a room.
The Goya beans was fun. That was cool.
The phones they made.
The phone, yeah, that was.
Oh, and you have synchronized dancing with the phones while lying on the bed.
That's Big Dipper did the choreography. Yeah. It's sign language.
So the poster apparently was up there, and somebody told Will Keenan about it. Somebody was like, "Yo, this poster's in this video," and then he like tweeted the video out and stuff, and you know, it was cool. It was just random.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because this is like this thing he did in his youth, and like he did. I not? Oh, I retweeted
it. But that's
tight. Yeah, so that happened. Just these weird little moments where people connect with it, you know.
Yeah,
and, like, the weirdest people are into us, you know.
The weirdest people.
So you have a music video and a song called Lana Dunham.
Yeah.
That one kind of blew up a little bit, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you get some attention from
Tay Tay Swift?
Is that right?
Yeah.
She Instagrammed good old Lena.
She didn't get
her shaking her booby. I mean booty.
Singular boob. Just one.
Shaking Lena's singular titty to it around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, to the song?
Say our band name on Good Morning America.
No, they wouldn't. And Taylor didn't link to us or anything, but our friends were in the comments just like constantly.
Wait, so Taylor Swift posted this clip, but didn't like.
But
credit
she didn't
you?
Credit us, no.
Right.
She
said there's a rap
song. What?
She said there's a rap song called Lena Dunham.
Which apparently we could have made money off of that if we
But
had.
Lena,
no,
we Lena was nice.
Good Morning America.
Yeah?
Lena recognized it, and she, her assistant or whatever, like, emailed us, and she was like, "Oh, she thanks you guys."
That's
and then
dope.
Our homie Sam
That's
waited
amazing.
On her.
I am
so not surprised that Lena Dunham was cooler about it than Taylor Swift.
Oh, well,
it's not on brand for Tay Tay. She can't be saying handjobs.
Tay Tay can't be talking about handjobs.
Yeah,
you have a convenient acronym that you can use.
I know.
Yeah.
But they couldn't say it on Good Morning America. He said, the guy, he was like, "Well, there's a group out of Brooklyn, a white female rap group out of Brooklyn."
Wow, killing it, Good Morning
We're
America.
We're not going to say the name on air.
Yeah.
So wait, what, did they just pat themselves
and
on the back?
They
all
giggled.
They
set like,
their viewership on,
the
a, on an internet
on air.
Scavenger hunt?
Yeah, basically. Oh, we got a cute feature recently for Pop. It was on some sort of like trailer, some Vine about Suicide Squad. It was just like Harley Quinn, like, and it was our song Tumblr Bitches. It was so cool because it went out to what was the
there's
account?
That makeup tutorial.
It was like
thing.
Comic something. Yeah,
is that Harley Quinn?
No,
yeah, maybe.
So I guess I have a question as a brand new fan and really coming into your art sort of fresh with new eyes and not really knowing anything of your history. You don't have an album, right?
No, we have one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to do it again. Yeah, it came out a couple years ago.
Okay.
I guess we don't push it too much because everybody's kind of doing
iTunes.
Other shit.
Is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's on Spotify.
All right.
It's on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
It's okay. On SoundCloud.
It's on all of our computers and phones.
Okay.
It's but on then, mp3.com if you travel in the past.
Yeah, it's kind of...
It's on Napster.
A dated... title?
Well, it was a dated title to begin with. That's the funny thing.
It was a dated title to begin with.
Yeah. Hashtag IKEA monkey.
It was the first trending thing, I think, that I can remember using
IKEA monkey, yeah.
Which was IKEA monkey, which was just pictures and memes that included people wearing the jacket
and
that
then
the
I
IKEA
even...
monkey wore.
Sure.
If you could just vaguely jog your memory.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Oh, no,
about...
no. I know exactly what
oh,
that
the
monkey
image.
Looks like.
Yeah,
yeah.
The image.
I even got a tattoo of the IKEA monkey.
Of course you did.
Custom drawn IKEA monkey.
See, that's dope. So
that's beautiful. Amazing.
Yeah, so there's some meaning in my life.
You made me slap my knee.
Oh, shit.
That's how funny that was. That was officially a knee slapper. Thank you. That I so very rarely get to do that in my life. I appreciate that.
You know what? I kind of prefaced before we started recording like questions I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about the history of the name, but I'm not going to do that because fans can Google that.
Yeah, Google
find
it. Yeah.
Or actually write your own story.
You can Google it, but it's wrong.
That's
all a lie. And the truth is all on this podcast.
We should just have people like hit us up with origin stories, and then we'll just use it every time we have an interview.
Right.
So if you want to just like hit us up on our Facebook messages that we never check.
It goes down that
shit,
in the DMs.
That shit is verified. Yo, we got a blue check mark down on our
Facebook. Oh,
shit.
What up?
I know that. Oh, shit, what up?
Here come that
check mark.
Here come that check.
But yeah, if you could slide into our DMs and you could give us a story.
Snapchat meet it.
Or if they start Googling it by the time this episode comes out, they're going to run into the fan fiction that Lugo and I are going to write. Hell so yeah. We're going to write all kinds of origin stories for you, and they're going to stumble upon those. I'm going to ruin your Google hits.
It's called Hand Job Academy Hangs Out at the Epic Podcast.
And RoboCop's involved somehow. Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah.
What about Time Cop?
So, this is a question. We've had a number of nerdcore rappers on the show over the years because it's because it's a way to exploit my friendships for guests and content.
Yeah, content, yeah.
And I've always had this question that I've wanted to ask all of them, and I never have, but I feel like you guys would probably have the best answer to this question. And what is the single worst show you've ever done?
Oh, that's a good one.
Look, I mean...
Oh, God, we played some...
Yeah,
bad
we played
ones.
Some. Bad
yeah, but
ones.
There's
I think
one.
We all disagree.
We probably
really.
Yeah.
Ash Wednesday.
Okay, you go first, Ashley. But you know what? Even as bad as any show is, we always have fun doing it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the worse the show, the more fun it is. Actually.
True. I mean, you make lemonade because you have to. Because
right, because you're a professional and you're an artist. That's what you do.
The show, like the less
but sometimes
fucks
you
I give,
I got,
the more
I got
fun
something.
I have.
It wasn't a show, but we made a video one time. We contributed a verse for this thing.
Yeah, that's the worst thing we've ever done.
The worst thing we've ever done.
Are you about to throw a group under the bus?
Well, this squad was doing this posse cut, and they asked us to be on it.
And it was right when I moved into this tiny studio apartment off Myrtle Wyckoff. Oh, God. And so we were just like, do you guys just... It was
Let's just phone it in.
Jay-Z beat.
Okay. To the song...
And we wrote the worst verses.
Phoned it
and
in
we
like a motherfucker.
Shot the worst music video on an iPhone. Yeah. We brought out all my props. I had nicotine gum and a colonial wig.
Somebody had a fucking Indian headdress, I think.
Ashley had an Indian headdress.
And Claire wore a Bane mask.
No, but you know what? It wasn't a Bane mask. Do you know what that really was?
Tell me.
It was a shocker machine that you put your hand on.
Uh-huh.
And it's a lie detector shocker thing that I had.
It's not a lie detector. It's just a shock machine.
Oh, no, it's a lie detector shocker machine that I had when I was in high school.
Meg's and mom it's, gives and all it's these weird gifts.
That's true. That's true.
Anyway, that was the worst. That was the worst piece of art we made because they were under the impression that we had put out all these dope videos, and they were like, oh, like let's get these girls in on it. We were the only girls on the thing. There was like 16 rappers before us that spit 16.
Like
wait,
hardcore,
16 rappers doing 16?
Yeah.
How long was the song?
It was like 10 minutes long.
Did you guys do a 16 as a group, or did you do three individual 16?
Like, they would post it. And they'd be like, shout out to everyone that was a part of this and leave our name out.
No, they didn't.
Yeah,
that's all right, though.
We were trolling them. I mean, TBQH, we were trolling them because we were like, these fucking bros. Also, when we play their shows, like they're like, oh, yeah, you want a midnight? And it's like, nah, we on,
go on
at 2 a.m. and they don't pay us.
So,
oh, because the money's going to the...
was like a show event that they were doing, and then I just wasn't even there, was I? I was in Seattle or something.
Yeah, you were taking over the Pacific Northwest.
I was like, oh, sorry.
God gravy.
We've done a lot of bad shows, and I think we learned how to say no to a lot more in our age and be very selective, especially with our busy lives and our just the nature of what we do now. Like, we're very selective about that shit. Like,
we got to get paid.
I think all the South by shows were great, like, that we've done, and that recently we haven't had any bad shows.
You know what? I got a show for you.
Okay.
You guys, remember Philadelphia?
Oh, that was bad.
See, everybody's got a show that they can turn to somebody else who was involved and go, remember something?
Talk about
pause.
It. Talk
and then
about it.
Okay.
Mortified laughter.
Y'all, we were driving like 4 hours at 3 a.m.
To get
like,
home?
It was the only, like, I ain't, like.
It was Korean
It was only Korean people in the club.
It was a Korean night.
Not to hate on, like, Korean people at all.
I'm Asian, it's cool.
No, okay, because what had happened was that we had a manager.
Korean, right?
Yeah, we had like a manager,
right.
Quote,
after Shark
in quotes.
After Shark Week broke up. After Shark Week blew up, people were approaching us about like reality shows and all this stuff. All these people come out of the woodwork, because when you have that moment of like virality, it's a really intense moment. And we experienced it, 2013 with Shark Week. We experienced it in 2014 with Lena Dunham. So it's just wild. Like, your phone can't keep battery, you know, and people are constantly hitting you up and blowing you up. Oh my God, congratulations. And then people start hitting you up. So, because every TV producer, every agent, they want a piece of it.
Right.
You know, and so we had this, like, sort of, we were, like, testing out this manager guy. And he's like, yeah, I got you a show in Philly.
And then he's like, 300 people there, guarantee it. They're going to pay you X amount of dollars. We didn't have a contract. They just, like, told us this. We didn't know. And then we get there.
Drive all the way there.
Drove all the way to Philly for just the show. Invited my damn mom.
Invited Ashlyn's whole family.
My mom's the only one there.
And then
we start playing, and, like, these people start coming in, and it's, like, all these Korean people. And we're like, oh, okay, cool. Like,
they all have sunglasses.
Yeah, yeah. They all have sunglasses.
They had some weird thing with sunglasses.
Yeah, we met that tattooer, though, and that dude, and they bought a t-shirt for, like,
$10.
30% off. Because they were like, we don't have the money. We're like, all right, whatever, you're cool. Let's get some fucking corn nuts for the road home.
And then when we drove...
We drove home, and it was like 3 in the morning, and I was driving, and I was like, oh, I'm so tired. And Ash was like, okay, I'll drive. And we're going through that part of New Jersey where there's, like, all those bridges, and it's just nasty and crazy. And Ashley's... And then all of a sudden, Ashley goes, you guys, I can't see anything.
Yeah, she had her glasses.
She had her glasses on, and she goes, guys, everything is blurry. And I'm like,
I believe it.
Oh, shit.
Remember, you was
freaking out. Yeah, because those stupid partitions, they come right up to the side of your car. And, okay, and the wrinkle. And,
you know,
okay.
The funniest thing?
The funniest thing was that we peed in graveyards.
Nice. Oh, right.
And then remember when that gypsy rolled up to my car?
That was a different time, though.
That gypsy rolled up to my car. All right. I straight up was so rude.
Wait, okay, hold on. Stop. Okay, time out.
That was the rudest I've ever
been. Time out for a second.
Lugo's got to catch up here.
Yeah, you guys.
I still can't find this.
I went
shit,
straight
by the way.
Queen on that gypsy.
Wait, okay, other than the fact that the gig was in Philly,
yeah,
and that the night the audience wasn't really your audience.
No.
It was a completely different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a different, completely vibe than what you would be used to.
Right.
Like, what was that? What was horrible about the gig, or like?
It was just not a lot of people, and then the people that came weren't there for the show. They were there.
And it's not that we can't, you know, get down with different vibes. Like, we've played shows for 60-year-olds sitting in their damn seats.
Absolutely.
But it's like they wasn't even paying attention.
They weren't there for you.
You know what I mean? They weren't.
They were there
for
something else.
Yeah.
And you were the thing that they had to get through to get to the thing they wanted to see.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's fucking horrible.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was funny.
All right, so I'm going to move forward just a little bit. You peed in a graveyard?
Oh, yeah, we peed a lot of places.
Yeah. Oh, the yogurt container is pretty lit.
Yeah,
tour. All right, so we're going on tour. Okay, picture if you will. A yogurt container with your Dannon or your Yoplait or whatever.
Right.
The flop.
A large one.
All right. So women, dudes on the road, they can pee in a bottle, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We need a larger circumference.
So the yogurt container fits pretty good over your, like, front and back.
Sure,
Vaginal area, your vulva.
And your vaginal area?
Your pee hole.
Coochie.
Your labia, sweetie.
Your labia. Ashley's... Whoa, I just got...
Son.
Private parts explained.
Oh, dear.
Son. Ashley just explained to me where babies come from. She's a scientist. She's a scientist. Okay, but it goes over more than your labia.
That's true.
Ashley had to pee in the car every 10 minutes.
She got a small bladder. I have a large bladder, so I would fill one easily to the point where I was really afraid. There's a funny vibe.
And I would use mine 2-3 times and just lit it. And
so, yeah, I just knew that going on the road we would need this. And Ashley was a little bit pee shy.
Oh, yeah, because I was trying a lot of things. I really had to go, but I couldn't go. And then I was trying to go in a cup the first time. And I'll never forget that because there was like 3 other people in the car, including a dude, Steve. That was on the way back from like upstate or something. Meg was like, I'm not pulling over. Meg never pulls over for me. I'm like, okay, you know.
Damn right, Meg.
No, it's like every other hour.
I get it from my dad.
Yeah,
dad does that.
I get it from my dad.
7 hour trip, you only pee
yeah.
once.
Yeah, that's bad for you. That's bad for your parts,
man. That's how I was growing up.
The heart is hard.
You only got one pee break.
You only get one.
What, other than that, fair is fair.
I can't find this fucking video. This is the worst thing ever.
Oh, we
got. All right, I got nothing. What else?
Wait,
you got?
So, what is the next big thing in the pipeline for Handjob Academy? Do you have a record? Do you have a music video, tour, big show? Are you launching a new cult? What is the next big thing that you have brewing that you can talk about?
I think everybody's doing their own shit at the moment.
Oh.
Yeah, like. Meg has something dropping.
Nice.
You know that rapper, you know that guy?
Yeah.
You know how he's been like making a mixtape for like 15 years?
Yeah.
That's me. I'm that guy.
Oh, Claire.
Yeah.
Claire,
yeah.
Every rapper's yeah. been working on a mixtape for 15
Meg
years.
Uncle Meg made like 3 records like in the last 6 months. So not every rapper, but Mira, I.
You're like the mountain goats of hip hop.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Word. I'll take that.
I try to work
that.
Hard.
Yeah.
I get it from my dad. I try to work hard.
But well, you also out. Don't take pee breaks when you're recording, so
exactly.
that must...
Yeah. Well, I take a lot of pee breaks.
Okay.
When true. Before shows, don't I? I
get so, anxiety. Wait, so you guys all have some solo stuff coming up. Meg, obviously, you've already released an anthology of yeah. solo records.
No, I only released an EP.
Oh, okay.
It's a free EP that I released last fall.
Ashley? I'm sorry,
sure.
that was a little too familiar. Ash Wednesday?
Oh, no. Miss Wednesday is fine.
Okay.
No,
oh, wait. If I do it, can I be like, Miss Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
You say it like
Miss
that?
Miss Meg.
Miss Wednesday.
What's a period?
Goddamn, my balls is
What is that from?
Sam Wise.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did some songs with MC Lars for his Patreon.
Oh, another former guest of the program.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Shout out Lars.
Basically.
Bone him.
I think he's so handsome.
Aww.
He is quite handsome.
He's so handsome. You know what I realized? I looked at a picture of him in high school. I'm dating Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh, my God.
I want, like, trading cards of his face. Anyway, though, he's inspiring.
Trading cards of
I do some
I
music
he
with him.
That, though, available. He's got the merch on lock. I mean,
that's true. I wish he would. I should make those and sell them. God. I could make so many dollars.
Are you serious?
Are you serious?
That's tight.
And then I have a poetry book, but nobody really cares about that. That's not true.
You're glossing over that. Yeah, our listenership is very well read and would love to hear about your poetry book.
Way to pander. That's great.
Okay, so the name of my book is called Is This a Joke?
Nice.
And
and it's 40 poems, and
Is it being self-published?
It is. Can you believe
so
it?
So that's just going to be like hardcover?
Well, let's not go crazy.
Are you using Amazon? Are you using Amazon CreateSpace?
It's going to be a floppy cover. Okay.
You can make books on Amazon.
And it ain't going to be glossy.
Are you fucking serious?
Yes. 48-hour books on
Amazon. We could totally take this off the air, and I will teach you everything there is to know about.
We could make a book out of this transcript. Right
yeah,
now.
Right.
Yeah, we
exactly.
could.
Exactly. We
yeah.
could take this interview.
I want to make a book now.
Turn it into a coffee table book.
Okay. We should make books.
We'll talk.
Picture books are very
great.
And Claire, you just released, I know you said you've been working on a mixtape for 15
yeah,
years,
yeah,
but you
like
did just release a music video for
I did.
A,
I shot
a
music video in Snapchat because, you know, my production value was very different than the Uncle Meg production values. So I was kind of just fucking with what I had laying around. And I had been shooting this thing just like I just figured out Snapchat because I'm old. You know, but I really enjoy it.
I still have no idea how it works.
It's pretty cool.
That's because you're way old.
I'm way old.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll talk about this offline, but I bet we're probably the same age. So I'm very well preserved because Asian don't raisin. we'll talk graduating classes later.
Okay.
But yeah, so I made this video on Snapchat. I was making it, and then somebody, my friend Yo Eves, Ms. Eves, the rapper, we have a side project called Font Drama. She hit me up.
And you
she was
did a music video for that.
Yeah,
too,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Which was spooky. It was very Schaefer-esque.
Yeah. Oh God, it was like horrorcore. It was all over that thing.
It was that first verse. I was like Schaefer. but yeah, so I was making this video and I was taking my sweet time with it as usual. And Eves was like, check it out. Somebody made a video on Snapchat, and I was like, fuck, I have to go back to the drawing board, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, she happened to be famous, and she happened to, like, it was Ingrid Michaelson. She did a, you know, I don't even know, but she's famous, and she did a, like, it's very Snapchatty, and she was the first. And Loretta Lynn said, you got to be first, best, or different, right? So I just went for different, because I couldn't, I couldn't be first or best. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, whatever. It's like me just fucking talking about Tinder, and it's over to Amy Winehouse beat, and it's whatever. You know, it's a fucking mixtape track, which means I don't have to pay for the beat, etc.
It's dope, though. It's
thank you. Really, I appreciate it. I appreciate really y'all.
It's a great song.
It's like video. A fart in the wind with its 300 views, but maybe your listenership will like to check it out at youtube.com/ClaraBizness, BIZNS.
Damn,
that's more views than I ever got, so kudos for you.
Is there anything that you would feel disappointed in yourselves if you left this interview and you hadn't said out loud into a microphone,
we're not voting for Donald Trump?
No
we're not.
Okay, that is now that's on record.
Yeah. Right, good.
Like, is that even a question?
For some, maybe. Yeah,
that's crazy.
There are people who
I can't
voted for him.
That was a good comment, Ashley. I appreciate you saying
that. Yeah.
That's all I gotta
That's
say.
That's a wrap. Thank you, Schaefer. We love you. And thank you, Nelson. It was nice meeting you.
That was a pleasure. It was an absolute pleasure.
Handjob Academy, thank you so much for being on the program with us this month.
Thanks, dudes.
And
I love you guys.
Once again, we would like to thank Handjob Academy for being our guests on the program this month.
I love them. I love them all. I think they're fantastic. I want to be their best friends.
If you are not a fan of Handjob Academy before listening to this interview, please do yourself a favor and go and listen to all of their stuff.
All of them.
Their videos are so much fun.
Yeah.
Their live show is so sick. And I know you were just saying you want to be their best friend.
I do.
You'd have to get in line. A lot of people want to be Handjob Academy's
best friend. I have a direct link to them now because they're probably listening to this episode. So I'm going to say, hey, Ash Wednesday, Uncle Meg, and Claire, I want to be your best friend.
Really? You think that's going to work?
I can only hope.
Okay.
I can only hope and pray.
Good luck. I hope you do. I think that they are way too cool. For either
no,
of
they
to
are.
Be best
they no, they are
them.
Absolutely way too cool. But I'm hoping that they'll throw me like a pity party. And
I think they just did.
That's it. That's my one shot.
I think that's for both of us.
Ugh, man,
that's as close to we're gonna get to with them. Do people call BFFs beefs? I just tried to make up slang so I would sound like younger and more hip.
I want to be their BFF.
Go listen to their stuff, internet.
All right, Schaefer, what do you got this month?
Are you talking about plugs?
Yes.
Hell yeah. Everybody buckle up. I ain't got shit.
Nice.
I have no shows between this episode and the next episode. I'm just going to continue working on a new recording project that I have been slaving over for the past couple of months. I am working on a collaborative EP.
That's true. That is very true. Can you talk about it?
I can say that I'm working on a collaborative EP with the legendary Shale Riley.
Woo-woo!
That's all I can say. Okay. I can't give out any more details, but
I'm really excited.
A record together. There might be some shows involved
in
the future.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much where my time and focus is going.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to be in Des Moines, Iowa next month for a family reunion, if you'd all like to join me there. I'm not going to give you the details because you're not allowed. It's a family reunion.
Right. All right. On July 21st, I'm going to be remounting Gathering the Magic.
Dun-da-da.
At the Gateway Arts Center, New York City. At the end of July, the last weekend of July, I'm going to be in North Carolina for the Discordia Days Burlesque Festival. I'm actually going to be hosting the main stage show on Saturday night, which I believe is the 30th of July. That's it. That's all I got.
I think that's going to wrap up 44 nicely.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Why don't you take us out?
This has been the Epic Podcast, episode 44. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Be safe, internets.
Bye. Yeah. Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast. We'd love to listen to you, too. So send us your feedback, questions, love mail, hate mail, recipes, and fan fiction to epicpiecast@gmail.com. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Hello?
Mugo!
Yes.
I had another thought about the podcast episode with Handjob Academy.
Okay.
I cannot believe we did that entire interview, and we talked about the song Shark Week, how it was like in part of their origin, and the music video for it, and the location where they shot it, and we even used it as the musical break in the episode, and yet never once did we acknowledge the fact that this episode is actually going to air during Shark Week.
I had no idea. Is that actually coming up?
That's this week.
Oh, all right.
So I feel since we don't have a stinger, we should at least acknowledge it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, we don't even have to do anything. We can just state it.
Yeah. Yeah. We could say something along the lines of like, "Hey, enjoy Shark Week." On Shark Week, or something to that effect.
That'll do.
Okay.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.